Welcome to the Good Enough Podcast, a podcast that takes you into a new realm by inviting you to reduce your daily hustle and celebrate yourself right here.
Tune in as we dive deep into vulnerable topics and interview guests who deliver transformative moments to you, our community of individuals healing on a collective journey.
We'll open up to the art of embodied self-care, and even on the days that you feel like a self-sabotaging rebel,
we're here to remind you that in this realm, we are all good enough. The views expressed on this episode, as with all episodes of the Good Enough Podcast, are solely host and guest opinions.
This podcast is not intended to replace professional medical advice and is for entertainment purposes only.
Hey there, welcome back to the Good Enough Podcast. It's Mackenzie and I'm here with my girl, Jessica. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Mackenzie. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. I am excited to introduce another one of our incredible guests today. We had the pleasure of sitting down with Alyssa Cotton, who is a money mindset coach for female entrepreneurs. You and I had recently been talking about our finances and just, I mean, as friends, like having, you know, normal conversation. And I heard this podcast episode with Alyssa. She was on Haley Hoffman Smith's podcast, Big Conversations. And I hadn't even finished the episode before I sent it to you. And I just knew that not only did we both need to hear this episode, but we also probably needed to have her as a guest. So here we are. Alyssa did come on the Good Enough Podcast, and we are so excited to share this conversation.
It was really cool to hear what she had to say around, you know, women in really any type of situation, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you aren't the person in your home that's in charge of your finances, or maybe you're just trying to find your way around financial freedom, financial safety. And it's just something that I know that I've felt so much over the years, you know, especially when the finances aren't coming in as well and you just feel so frantic, or there's a lot of anxiety. You know, she talks about like financial anxiety around things like bills or even trying to up-level in life, you know, becoming that entrepreneur, because we have these fears and limiting beliefs that we've really picked up along the way. And she touches on, you know, how ingrained these patterns around finances can be, especially in the women's world.
Yeah, this was one of those topics that I just feel that we can all relate to in some way. Like finances, our abundance, this worthiness, it's all so deeply connected to that root primal need to survive and have safety and security. And so I know that talking with Alyssa, just coming out of it, it really reminded me why we're even having these conversations, and that, you know, often in my struggle, I do feel that I'm alone, but even having these conversations and realizing that this is also just normal human stuff that a lot of us are dealing with. And I think most of us who are, you know, even intrigued to tune into a podcast or learn more about our money blocks, we have an awareness that, you know, it's maybe not as good as it could be. And so I know that this episode just helped me to remember kind of the power that I have in my relationship with my abundance and my finances, and how I really have the power to, you know, switch that relationship if I want as well. Because like you mentioned, so many of these patterns that we have with our money, they're ingrained, you know, we've learned them in however we were raised. And so it's not our fault that we believe that you got to hustle to make the money or whatever that belief is, but how really that can hold us back from our full potential.
I liked that you pointed out the loneliness part as well, because that can be a pattern that we pick up, is like not talking about money. You know, I lived in a household where we didn't talk about money, you know, or how much it was like not professional as well in careers to talk about how much you're making or telling other people. So, you know, for someone who's just curious and really had to be in charge of my own finances at an early age, I didn't really have a lot of people to talk to. I also felt like something wasn't right with me because I didn't know how to handle finances or how they worked. And, you know, it brings up so much of that, you know, that stress, that anxiety, that feeling like there isn't enough available. And it really is just kind of a vision that we've put on our relationship with our finances. And I just really appreciated how Alyssa made it feel easier, made it really gave reasons I had never thought of how to think about bills and think about your finances. And it just was really amazing. And just know everybody's going to enjoy this. We are really excited for you all to tune in and hear this and enjoy this conversation like we did when we first heard her and then got to talk with her. So we're really excited for everybody to hear, and we hope you enjoy. Hi, Alyssa. Welcome to the show. We're so happy to have you here and get talking about this financial mindset that we'd all love to find ourselves in.
Welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, we are super excited to dive into this. I know a lot of my own money mindset shifts have come from the work that I've done through journaling, but also through EFT tapping. So that has probably been where like I have seen the biggest change. And it's actually wild how like sometimes I'll be doing it and I swear within the hour, like money has shown up in my account and I'm like, whoa, okay, there is such a connection there. So I would love for you to just share with our listeners a little bit about, yeah, how you got into this work and then just touching on really like any of the modalities that you kind of practice.
Yeah, definitely. So I have been obsessed with money since I was like really little. My mom, when I was like 4 years old, would give me like pennies and I would fall asleep and I would wake up and I would still have like the pennies in my hand. So I always felt like money was so precious. And then I went and got my bachelor's in finance. And my senior year of college, I got super sick and I was in and out of doctor appointments, hospitals. And for whatever reason, my professors were very misguided and they were like, you need to be in class, you need to be doing your tests. Like, this is, I don't care if you have health problems. And it really had me shook, like, okay, is this the industry? Am I going to be getting into this like super cutthroat, you know, financial investment, Wall Street, all of that? So I made a whole 180 change and I pivoted to counseling. So I went and got my master's in community counseling. I was originally wanted to help people get out of debt. Made the switch. I was like, I want to help people with their mental health. So I started my own counseling practice in 2017, and I was working with individuals. And then I started working with a lot of entrepreneurs. And I started realizing that a lot of the entrepreneurs that I was working with had like prickly feelings with money, whether that was like charging or even charging if someone like no-showed, no-called, and just like the emotions around money. And then fast forward to 2023, I went to a retreat. And after I left that retreat, it was with Haley Hoffman Smith. I just felt like I really wanted to get back into the money mindset. And there was this Netflix show on How to Be Rich or Your Rich Life. And I started doing different like TikTok videos on the topic and they were really well received. And everyone's like, wait a minute, you have all this like knowledge about money. And in my mind, I was like, oh, I just thought everyone knew about that. And then I come to realize that a lot of people do not know that relationship with money. So over the summer of 2023, I started just doing free money mindset sessions to see if this is even something that I want to help people with. And people were having such success in just changing their relationship with money, feeling safe in all of those categories, such as investing money, spending money, saving money, receiving money, and fast forward, here we are today. I'm helping women change their relationship with money so they can see that money is a tool to achieve their goals. Money is not the goal. It's our personal goals, but we can use money as that resource.
I love that because it takes away some of that pressure that we have on money. And, you know, depending on where you're coming from and like what, how you grew up and all of that, a lot of us do tend to still put a lot of pressure on needing money as like a necessity, as like our main necessity. Like we have to have money or we won't be able to enjoy life or we won't be able to get to our dreams and our desires. And that can be a big fear, especially when you see, you know, prices going up and, you know, everything is so much about investing in yourself and you feel part, you're wondering, well, how do I get to that point where I feel comfortable and confident about investing in myself or investing in my business, especially when it's really can be really fearful when you think money is the absolute need for all of these things to happen. And that the way that you put it is kind of taking it and thinking of it as a resource, one of the many resources that we can have in our lives to accomplish the things that we want and find joy. But there are so many levels that, and I know you will probably talk about these, but we'd love to hear more about them. But your money blocks, which for me, I was like, I can relate to all of these, especially when I was starting my business, but they're all a very big part of our idea of enoughness, of ourselves, our self-worth, and how we tend to challenge ourselves in a negative way when it comes to how are we going to earn more for ourselves or how are we going to ask for more or invest more. So we would love to hear that how you kind of connected those dots between that enoughness and these money blocks that we have to how we can find some freedom with having a better mindset around money.
Yeah. And when I work with women, so usually the lens that I talk to is about women. Mm. And women tend to overgive and don't feel safe to receive because we're, you know, since we're really young, it's like you have to be a caretaker, you have to take care of people, put their needs first. And so we believe the same thing with money. So a lot of my clients, they will never raise their rates because they're like, well, I have to just constantly give, or they will never put out that offer because they're afraid people will think that they're too salesy. And so what we can do is really peel back the layers of what is your goal. And usually our goals are rooted in what's called Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So each layer of the pyramid also correlates to money. So if we don't feel safe and stable and secure with our abilities to provide housing, food, shelter, connection, clothing, it's really hard for us to even fathom investing in our personal development, investing in our business if we don't feel financially safe and secure. So what I always encourage people to do is every time you have a bill, give gratitude to it. And at first you might be like, why would I give gratitude to paying a bill? And what that's going to do, it's going to remind you that you have the stability and security to take care of your financial needs. So what you can do is look at your bill, scan it and say, oh my gosh, I have this phone bill. Maybe it's $50. Okay. Think about all the amazing ways you used your phone, right? Maybe you used it to watch TikToks or maybe used it to text some friends or to FaceTime or to do a Zoom call. And instead of looking at like, oh my goodness, I have a bill, which then makes us feel guilty or makes us feel bad or makes us feel like insufficient, we don't have enough resources to cover that, we can shift our mindset to see how our bills are actually adding value to our life. And we start to normalize paying bills as safe and natural to do. All the other layers start to come together, and then it's going to feel safer for us to kind of go up that pyramid of needs. And the top of the pyramid is self-actualization, tapping into our higher self. And when we feel financially secure to take care of ourselves, it becomes easier for us to take care of ourselves.
I'm so glad you like touched on just the foundation of that. I work a lot with the chakras, and what you're describing is the root chakra. So it's safety, security, you know, our ability to know kind of like, yeah, where we fit into the world. And so I think it is really important to touch on those things. And I love that step that you gave everyone to practice gratitude. That was something that I heard in this song. It's like one of those mantra songs. It's called Yay Coins. And
amazing.
She literally, one of the lyrics is like, I give gratitude to all the bills. And I was like, wow, what a great idea. I had never even considered that, but instead of like feeling that like tense kind of energetic, oh, you know, I don't want to be paying this or whatever, you're like thinking about what else you could spend the money on, seeing the value in it, you know, like finding that, because then I think it does become easier not only to pay off those bills that are just kind of like, you know, you're normalizing them part of your life, but then I think it does become easier when you are ready to take that next step, because you've become really comfortable seeing the value in making that investment financially.
Yeah, exactly. And what will happen with the brain is usually when we look at bills, our nervous system gets afraid, right? We tighten our fists, we tighten our shoulders, our jaw starts to tighten, which then is sending a signal to our brain that this is not a safe thing to engage in. So we tend to avoid looking at our bills. We tend to avoid paying our bills. We tend to avoid even engaging in it because the brain believes it's dangerous. So when we shift that lens of looking at bills with gratitude, appreciation, understanding, or like throwing back like all the memories I had because I had this bill, it tells the brain, oh, actually spending money is really safe, or paying off bills is really safe. And it can feel easy and natural to consistently do that.
Yeah, I'm going to take that and start utilizing that from this point on, because it's interesting how even while you were talking about it, I was like, man, bills do, they always have felt like so heavy. You know, it's a negative thing. It's something that you are having to spend, you know, every month. And even when you do think about all the stuff that you, you know, have because of your bills, like your home maybe and a car, you know, the things that you really need to function, it still feels like you're just being like drained of all of your resources, even though it's really just trading one resource for the other. You're just utilizing, you know, the cash for whatever has been provided for you that you need, you know, you need the roof over your head or the car. Those are other resources. It's a good way to look at it in a more positive way and kind of like a pattern interrupt, if you will, like when you are looking at your bills and you have those negative thoughts coming in around it and you are getting really nauseous because of these, you know, the thought of having to spend money right now doesn't feel right, you know, taking a moment and being like, well, how can I see this as in a positive way, as something that I'm providing for myself and my family? And safety is so important, especially for women, you know, and we do want to feel like we're providing a safe space for our family and for ourselves. And yeah, that can, I think money just in general, sometimes feels like we have to work or struggle so much for it. But maybe it's because we're not focusing on the right ideas around it.
Yeah, exactly.
Before you continue on with that thought, I'd love to take a moment to talk to you about the bliss-inducing elixir that we've both become quite familiar with. I'm talking about the heart-opening drink, cacao.
Yes, my love, cacao. Cacao is a superfood and also the purest form of chocolate. The ceremonial drink has been used by Mesoamerican civilizations in sacred ceremony for thousands of years. In fact, cacao is considered to be of divine origin, and the cacao tree was often revered as a conduit between heaven and earth.
In addition to the spiritual significance of cacao, it contains many healing properties that provide feelings of stimulation and joy.
While Solif Cacao provides a variety of direct trade cacao products, I'm biased towards Heart of the Earth blend because during my time in Lake Atitlan, Guatemala, I had the privilege of visiting this incredible women's collective and feeling the love that is infused from bean to block.
I know you've used cacao mostly ceremonial, and I enjoy using cacao even to supplement my caffeine intake. Not only does cacao provide me with a more grounded stimulation, but I love knowing that my purchase is going directly towards supporting Indigenous communities.
Use the link in our show notes to purchase your own ceremonial grade cacao today. Be sure to use our code GOODENOUGH at checkout to support the show and receive a discount. Stay tuned for opportunities to indulge in this incredible medicine collectively with our virtual cacao ceremonies coming soon.
So often with money, there are stories that have been passed down, because think about a child, they don't conceptually understand what money is, but they do know that my caregivers are stressed anytime the word money gets brought up, or if I ask for something and I get rejected, okay, it must be this money thing. So then we as adults link in our brain, okay, money must mean something really important, because when I asked for my needs to be met, and I was rejected because of money, okay, then money is the bad guy, or money is like the root of all evil, or I must be a bad person because I desire more of it and my family was unable to give it to me. So we as young kiddos, we get all this information about what money is. Unfortunately, our brains haven't caught up to 2024, 2025, you know, whatever year you're listening to this episode, because the internet has added so many more resources for us to connect, for us to make money, for us to feel safe with money. And the stories that have been passed down through generations are stories where you had to have this certain path in order to make money, right? And now, because of the internet, there's so many more open doors as a result. But unfortunately, those stories haven't been updated that have been passed down, you know, like kids that are born after the internet. They get to hear news stories. But it's so funny, I was doing a training for these youth interns, and I was like, I'm older than Google. And they looked at me like, how old is this lady? Like, I've never lived in a life without Google. And so it's kind of funny to think about how, you know, the stories that we have about money, we can even think about our own childhood. Anytime we ask for money, how was that received? That kind of, those stories play out in our mind.
Yeah, I feel like it's important to like just highlight how you're really, what I'm hearing and what you're describing, it's like the abundance mindset versus that lack mentality of like, I don't have enough and like this is draining versus how it's adding value. And I also think that it ties right in with what you were saying about how like money isn't the goal, but it's a resource that we can use. And something that I have really connected with is this idea that money is energy. So it's not good, it's not bad, it is what it is. And, you know, I've learned that if I'm in that lack mentality, I'm not allowing flow, I'm preventing it from coming in too, though, if I'm not giving. And so finding that middle ground that feels like kind of what we talk about a lot on this show, that place of good enough, right? Like somewhere in the middle. And I just love that idea that energy or money can be a resource. It can be energy, and we can learn how to kind of be in relationship with it.
Well, I just, the whole thing about kind of changing through the generations, because we also want to evolve with it, evolve with the energy of the money. And that, what I, you know, because I'm an older millennial, and I have, you know, parents who were baby boomers, and my dad had a very specific path that got him into his career that did well for him to raise and provide for his family. And his, you know, his way was going to college, having a specific thing. And then the second you graduate, because of that degree, you're going to have all of these, you know, pathways that you could go. Well, for me, obviously that wasn't the case, because things were switching, you know, unpaid internships were really the thing that was available for people who just graduated college. And, you know, for me, I wanted to be an art student, but the best way, but that wasn't necessarily the way that I should go, because maybe it wasn't going to be profitable, because safety was something that had been drilled in my mind about money from my dad, who was the, you know, the breadwinner in our family. And so to me, like that had to be something stable in my life, even though it had even up to that point, it just, even into college, it was never something stable in my life. But then you graduate with, I graduated with marketing and business, and obviously it's helped me and it's still allowed me to be pretty creative. But once I got out, once I graduated, there weren't those, marketing business jobs that were just available for me. And I really struggled to find my path to entrepreneurship. I definitely did my time in the restaurant business for a long time. And it took a while to, it wasn't until I started realizing that I needed something different. And the way that I was earning money was not providing me joy. In fact, it was really affecting my mental health overall. And eventually I switched into real estate and I had an office job. And when I asked for a raise, which was something I had to do therapy through, basically just to get to that point, because asking for money when I was younger was always, there's shame attached to it. And so I figured, well, everybody else must have an idea of what I'm worth, and then you do these jobs like waiting tables where people are choosing what to pay you and what you're earning. So you have no control over that. So I was really amped up to ask for this raise. I had gone, I'd done this like worthiness work with my therapist, and just to get in there and be told that I would never make enough money doing this job, and that I wasn't going to be getting a raise. And we were totally off on, but each of us were not on the same page. That's when I knew I was going to have to change things, and I was going to have to start deciding how I was going to earn money and how I was going to support myself, and really had to take that leap. And it wasn't too long after that I did, and I started my business. And even since then, there's always these little parts, when you raise your prices, and when you add new services, or when you do have to have those interviews where you're selling your services to people. And it all feels like money is the center thing of that. But when you kind of step back and take perspective, you can see where there's like those little moments of growth and like what you're learning about yourself and what your real needs are. So it's a lot about kind of that shifting. And you have on your website, but you had mentioned on this podcast that we had listened to you do on the money blocks. And I would love for you to go over those for our listeners, because for me, they were huge takeaways, very relatable. And it just helped me have a better idea of how, some of these things that are just human stuff may be affecting why my money can feel very, anxious.
Yes, thank you. Also, thank you for sharing that story. And I wanted to highlight that I talk a lot about inner compass, and it really sounds like your inner compass knew like your heart's desire. And so you were like, all right, my inner compass is telling me I need to work on worthiness. All right, I'm going to work on that worthiness. All right, now my inner compass is saying I need to use my voice. And so we can always reference back to our inner compass, because when it points direct north, when we're truly in alignment, that's when we're in that state of flow and everything comes together just so magically. So I just wanted to share that after you shared your personal journey. So thank you.
Thank you.
So money blocks, everyone always asks me, okay, why would I repel money? Why would I block money, Alyssa? Like, who would ever want to do that? And again, this is nothing that we're consciously doing. This is all our subconscious mind. And our subconscious mind controls so much of our life, right? Our breathing, how our hair grows, our nails, digestion, but it also controls what we feel safe emotionally. And so there's four money blocks that if we don't feel emotionally safe with money, what will actually happen is, think about a horse. When a horse is walking and they have these blinders so they don't get distracted, money blocks are like these horse blinders. So you're unable to see opportunities where you could make more money, where it could be easier to bring in money, where it could actually feel really safe to spend or get out of this 24/7 hustle culture, because that is not the vibe we want to make money by, is like, I left my 9-to-5 to work 24/7. We don't want to do that. So these money blocks are basically like these horse blinders that are blocking us from seeing our state of flow, from receiving in a state of flow. So the first one that is so frequent is imposter syndrome. And imposter syndrome is this identity and this belief that my success is only based off luck or being in the right room at the right time. It's not based off our work, our dedication, our energy levels, our alignment. And this fear that someone is going to know that I'm a fraud, or someone's going to know that I don't know enough, that I'm not enough, or someone's going to truly see that I am not worthy and deserving of this level of success. So I'm going to basically hold myself back enough so I feel safe. And that way I don't kind of get exposed. So imposter syndrome, is really, really present in the entrepreneur world. It's really present in almost any profession, the corporate world, even just any path you take, because of social media with comparison. And because so many people only share, like, you know, that highlight reel, they believe, okay, why is it so easy for them and not easy for me? Okay, I must be a fraud that it's not so easy for me. So then we put these blinders on and we basically value our worthiness based off these external things. So that imposter syndrome is where we don't feel worthy and deserving of either the success we have or the success that we're going after. The next one is poverty mentality. And a lot of times I'll be talking with my clients and they'll be like, well, I grew up in a really, you know, successful family. I had all of my needs met. Why would you say that I have poverty mentality? So poverty mentality is this really fixed mindset in scarcity. There's never enough for me. No matter how hard I try, it won't work for me, or it works for them, it doesn't work for me. That is a huge one that I see, is like, they must have something that I don't have. Therefore, I guess these are just my cards. Or even the belief I have to work twice as hard just to receive equal results as other people. Or I have to take a long time. A huge one with poverty mentality is that it has to take years and years in order to generate the success I desire. And so that poverty mentality is this fear that nothing is going to change, so why bother? Kind of like that Eeyore, I'm going to lose my tail, so who cares if you find it anyways? It's kind of like, I'm going to be poor anyways, so I might as well max out my credit cards. I'm going to be poor anyways, so I might as well do this. And it's a very scarcity versus that empowered, I can take responsibility of my own well-being, therefore I can change my reality and change my life. So that poverty mentality really just keeps you stuck in the glasses half empty kind of energy.
Even just as you were describing that, like all the different ways that can show up. Like, it's crazy just having that poverty lack mentality of like, whether it be time or they have something I don't have, it's all stemming from that same kind of wound, if you will.
Exactly. And for poverty mentality, I really have my clients focus on air, like oxygen. Like, we're not storing jars of oxygen, hoping like, okay, you know, tomorrow there's not going to be oxygen, so I better store this. No, we like can take a deep breath and we can trust, you know, the air quality might not be as amazing, but we can trust that it's going to be there consistently over and over. Same thing with money. Since the time of dawn, there has been enough money to go around. Unfortunately, we've been told stories that there is not enough, and we believe those stories at our core, which then again disempowers us, keeps us in scarcity versus taking responsibility of our own well-being and saying, hey, I'm an empowered individual. I have empowered thoughts, and I'm going to take empowered actions to generate the money to achieve the life that I desire.
You know, I was curious about, because we talk with women too, and talk about our talk with an audience that is mostly women. And for me, when I was thinking about finances and you know, womanhood, there's, you know, this is obviously changing, but there is kind of this idea of not being the breadwinner of the home, not being in control of the house finances and bills. And, you know, and me being somebody who is mostly in control of those, it can be a lot of responsibility too. So maybe it's also not something that everybody wants to handle if they have a competent partner who can. However, as a woman's traditional role in the household, thankfully that's changing, especially the way, you know, how society is and everything. But I feel like there can be that mindset, and especially for women who are still kind of living in that space, who maybe would like to start their own business or have something of their own, or feel like they can be more part of the household finances and bills, and like how they can, you know, learn more about that, because I think there's safety in that as well. Because we never know what's going to happen to our partner or our household at any given time. And I know for me, when I finally felt like I had a good handle on the knowledge of finances and my finances, how much better that felt, compared to feeling so lost in it.
Yeah, exactly. And that actually goes right into the next money block, which is perfect. So the next money block is like a two-parter. It's fear of success / cult of mediocrity. So the cult of mediocrity, or the fear of success, says it is not safe for me to outshine my peers, my families, my significant others, my tribe, my circle. And it is definitely not safe for me to make more money than the people around me. So that can be seen, right, as our significant others, our partners, that can be seen as our family members, that can be seen as our friends, or even just as a community. You know, like there's all of these things that are like eat the rich and all of these things, tax the rich. And so specifically for women, we are told it's not safe to outshine other people. So dim your light, because if you're too successful, nobody's going to like you. If you're too wealthy, people are going to take advantage of you. Oh, how is your partner going to handle you making more money than them? What's that going to do in the dynamics of roles? And so there's all of these fears that put on us, okay, I can make enough money, but not enough money to make other people uncomfortable. So what happens is, again, those horse blinders say like, oh, there's an opportunity to promote your business and your services. Okay, well, I'm going to delay on emailing them back. And then they're going to say, sorry, too late. Or I might have an opportunity to share. Maybe I'm out with my friends and I'm sharing all my successes and I feel a weird energy. And I might say, oh, okay, I'm getting too successful. I need to dim my light. Let me talk about all the stress. Oh my gosh, entrepreneurship is so hard. I'm grinding. It's taking years to make money. You know, I'm not even making a profit. And then we look for those holes so we can be relatable, because we think to struggle is to be relatable, when in reality, we're not doing this work to struggle. We are doing this healing work and this up-leveling work to make everything better, more amazing. So that fear of success really hinders. And a lot of the individuals that I work with, they're at the stage where they are now making more money than anyone in their friend group or their family. And it feels really isolating because they want to share their successes, but they don't want anyone else around them to feel bad for their successes. And it makes it really challenging because they're like, I just want to share my successes, but I'm afraid, are they not going to want to be my friend? Or are they going to think I'm different now that I'm making more money, or that I'm taking risks, or I'm putting myself out there?
Picture gaining the skills to unlock your full potential and learn how to hold space for others to do the same. Hey, it's me, Mackenzie, and I'm thrilled to invite you to an experience that will be a catalyst for major growth in your life. Clear Inner Focus Life Coach Certification Class. Beginning Thursday, April 11th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, this 16-week virtual course is designed to empower you with the tools to coach yourself and others. But here's the deal. Spaces are limited, and I want you to be a part of this incredible journey. If you're curious about this opportunity, I encourage you to listen to episode 18, Positive Change, Embracing Clear Inner Focus with owner Patty Jackson, who created the curriculum. For more information, visit risingsoulholistic.com and feel free to reach out to me personally to secure your spot today. Let's create a ripple of positive change together.
I've
feel like this ties in beautifully with like something that I wanted to ask about, which was the idea of our upper limit. So in the book, The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks, he talks a lot about how this, it's just exactly what you're describing. Like there's some upper limit, like we're going to be featured and we're going to be seen by a bunch of people. And then we, again, subconsciously, you know, we're not doing this on purpose to sabotage, but we'll not email back. Or, you know, I think like even looking at your bank account and maybe you've never seen a number bigger than whatever that number is, that is your goal. And so it becomes harder to envision that for yourself, or to push yourself past that limit that's like, oh, I'm still safe in this friend group. You know, it's like, then you're kind of the outsider. So yeah, it just beautifully ties into that. Do you have anything to add about the upper limit problem?
Yes. If you have not read The Big Leap, read the book, read it every year. I swear it's like a manual. And it basically talks about, he has you make like a pledge in the very beginning of the book of, if you're going to commit to this book, you're going to commit to your life being even better. And so often we're afraid to be like, well, if it gets better, then the shoe is going to drop. And he's like, no, we're not expecting life to get better for the shoe to drop. And I always tell people, if you're doing this work of like EFT tapping or any type of like inner work, you're doing this work to receive something better. For example, if you were to move to a new apartment, you would never get rid of your old couch for a worse couch. You would want a better couch. So the same thing we can expect. So something that I always do when I work with my clients for upper limits is our body knows our limits. So let's say, for example, it's an easy exercise. So you can take a deep breath and really just ground yourself. And then what you can do is think about the most money you've ever received at one time. Think about that amount. Now scan your body. Is there any tension? Is there any prickliness? Is there any anxiety? Now, if I were to say that number just doubled, what do you notice in your body? Does it feel open to receive it? Does it feel closed off? Does it feel like a trap? Now ask yourself, what happens if I triple this money and I'm receiving it in one lump sum? Am I asking, how did it happen? Am I saying, I made it happen? All of those thoughts and all of those things, you might start to notice tension in your shoulders, in your stomach, in your chest, in your feet, in your hands. Those are all signs and signals that your body is telling you, yes, keep going forward, or it is no longer safe. So how did your guys' body feel when you did that exercise?
My mind often takes me to, like, I usually get like excited, you know, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, that was a really good memory, or, oh yeah, that's exciting. So my initial like feeling is like excitement in my body, but then my mind likes to go, well, how is that going to happen? That's typically the follow up. And I've done, you know, with the EFT tapping, especially with Haley, which Hoffman Smith, where she does the mind, the money tapping, the money dates. Typically that's kind of, I have that similar, you know, when I'm taking notes during it, that it's like, how is that going to happen? What's, you know, what's going to make that happen? And letting go of that idea of how it's going to come in, which is something I've been practicing, is I notice things do tend to come in easier. You know, like I all of a sudden have new clients wanting to get this new service that we've added on, even though it took a little bit of time for that to kind of kick in. But then it's like, once I let go of like, well, how's that going to happen? Then all of a sudden, you know, hey, somebody's got news about something and you're like, wow, I could have never imagined.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I feel like initially it felt really expansive. And then once we were tripling it, it was like my immediate reaction was how it's somehow a scam or something. Like that was the response. And it is almost the representation of the other shoe dropping.
Yeah, exactly. And so both of you guys, so connected to your body, and all of your listeners, I'm sure you're so connected to your body. That is your body telling you that would be your upper limit. So what you can do is, I love to do mental rehearsal. So 15-second mind movie of you whether achieving your goals, you hitting those milestones. And when you mentally rehearse and train the body that it is safe to receive, and how we know it's safe to receive, because our body feels grounded and centered and we can trust the process, trust the outcome, that is when magic will start to happen. Because if we start to clench up, or as I share with people, like our booty clenches, that is telling our nervous system, like, danger, danger, danger. You know, we only clench when we're in, you know, a trauma response, fight or flight. And so we can do that mental rehearsal, and we can just throw random numbers at our brain, scan our body. And if we start to notice some tension, we can do some EFT tapping to release those emotions, release that tension, and really ground the body.
Yeah, I love how you talked about the horse blinders, because, like, I'm just such a visual person. And Jessica, even when you were just describing how that felt, that's like exactly, it felt like the, by being attached to like how it's going to happen, you're putting those blinders on to see all of the possibilities and to even maybe be open to it going a way that you've never even thought of, you know, like being open to, yeah, this other energy altogether, where there's just no attachment to how it's going to work, or, you know, when or any of that. And it's just like that level of trust and surrender.
And not putting the struggle in, like the surrendering and not feeling like you have to struggle or work three times harder to get that number.
Yeah, exactly. And if we are struggling, that is our body's way of saying something is off. Whether we are not in our zone of genius, and he talks a lot about the zone of genius in that book, or we are forcing something, or we're not tapping into our own intuition, we're following someone else's model. Those are all signs that the body is saying something is not right, because we should truly just be in a state of flow. And yes, those are things that are hard, but how can we release the hardness around it and release that identity that it has to be hard in order for it to, you know, work hard, play hard? And how can it just be like work, play, play more, you know, and just have it be fun and exciting?
Yeah, I love that. And I, you know, for me, trying to look at what the desires are that I really want and what really brings me joy, and really trying to let money be just that second to that, that, you know, it's just a part of those resources. And that practicing that has really changed a lot of my mindset around money. Owning my own business has definitely helped, but it was also like, you know, that was some tough, like, learning experiences that I had, tough internal work I had to do, but has ultimately made, you know, my business successful, and that feels good. But there are still times where I've felt that like scarcity mindset, and the poverty mindset to me was one of the most interesting ones out of the four, because I think I really understood, you know, imposter syndrome and the self-sabotaging, because I had done the, I've been in those worlds with myself so much. But then the poverty mindset really opened up my mind to all these other things that I didn't even realize that I was doing, and that scarcity, and then having this kind of perspective on like who's worthy of the resources that are available to us. And I think it just gets added into kind of the negative stuff. And I love how the way that you're explaining it just gives us such a lighter view on it. And it does feel so much more like empowering. And it doesn't make us feel like we have to be, you know, grinding and hustling and, you know, because that isn't what life's about. You know, that's not what it's supposed to be about. And I don't think any of us are really looking to spend our lives, you know, doing that. So I love that message.
So there's one more money block.
Yeah, I'm dying to know.
The last money block is self-sabotage. And I think everyone can relate to this one. So self-sabotage, again, we consciously do not want to self-sabotage. Like, nobody wants to like put roadblocks and detours in front of them. But when the brain gets things feel too comfortable, too out of our comfort zone, or a little bit too risky, the brain will self-sabotage. And it does it in the most sneakiest way. So for example, let's say you want to follow up with the client and you're delaying, and then you follow up and they're like, oh, well, I signed up with another coach. So then your brain says, see, you're not worthy and deserving, because if you were, they would have waited for you. So the brain has this thing called confirmation bias, and it wants to confirm that our beliefs are true, whether they are positive beliefs or negative beliefs. So if we have negative beliefs about ourselves and how we can make money, save money, invest, and spend it, the brain is going to look for evidence on how to confirm it. And it usually does that through self-sabotage. So we basically will delay or even block our abilities to take those daily actions in order for us to get the results we want. And if we don't get the results we want, then the brain says, see, confirming, not worthy, not deserving. Why are you even trying? Why don't you like go back to ground zero? Like, what's the point? And so self-sabotage is usually those actions, but it doesn't start with our actions. It usually starts with our thoughts or our feelings. And so you can really start to get in tune with that. And even a deeper level is usually your body will tell you before you self-sabotage. So you might have a tightness in your chest. You might have tightness in your jaw. Your hands might start to fist up. You might get a headache. You might feel tired. Tired is a huge sign for self-sabotage, because who's going to argue with you if you say you're tired? You know, they're not going to be like, well, push through it. They're like, hey, rest. And so tired tends to be a very common one that the body will say that then we self-sabotage.
Yeah. I just had like an experience actually with, it was kind of like in the midst of learning about my own money story. And I was doing a lot of the EFT tapping work. And I had gone on a bachelorette party, and the sister of the groom was there, and she offered to basically like pay the whole tab. And the bride, instead of just like accepting that with grace and gratitude, it like became this whole awkward thing of like, you don't have to do that. And like, it was so apparent to me, because I was doing this work, of like how different it would have felt had she just accepted that gift and known that the new sister-in-law really wanted to do that, and how different it feels to also, when you are the person who's giving, to have that other person receive in that way. So I think that relationship with giving and receiving also ties into all of this. And it's something that I've become much more aware of, like when I am receiving, to do that with gratitude and with flow. And yeah, I think it's important to just notice more, like where maybe we're even kind of sabotaging ourselves in that way of saying like, no, you don't have to. And then it like, instead of being this nice moment, becomes a whole awkward situation.
Yeah, exactly. Like, can you receive, and not just receive money, but can you receive compliments? Can you receive positive feedback? And if you're like quick to, someone's like, you look pretty, and if you're quick to reject it, then what other areas in your life are you rejecting?
And I think like something you touched on at the beginning of our conversation was worth, and how I think especially as entrepreneurs that ties in, like some of the examples you gave of not wanting to raise your rates or feeling salesy. And it's like so interesting, because since I have changed that belief of feeling salesy myself, I have noticed that when I reach out to individuals, because so much of the work that I do is really like intimate and vulnerable, they actually feel like honored that I would even think to reach out or want to work with them. And it's like such great evidence for me to see the other side of that.
Yeah, exactly.
And you do it with such good intention too. And, you know, I think sometimes we have to let ourselves know that when we're doing things with good intention, we can't shame ourselves for that, or we can't judge the outcome of it, you know. And we have to allow other people to have their reactions to whatever we put out there. But you know, it's just something that I know about Mackenzie, is that she's very intentional, and it in a good way. Like you feel that she's thinking of you and things like that. And I think a lot of us
you know, who are in the serious business of wanting to help our community and help people feel better about themselves is that intention. And it's hard when there's a lot, when it feels like there's a lot out there. But if we're doing it on our own behalf for our own, you know, life and people that we want to work with, I think that's an important aspect to kind of to remind ourselves about, is that we are, you know, how are we doing this? How are we showing up to it? Why are we reaching out to them? You know, is it only for the sales, or do we really want to, you know, do this business of service?
Yeah, exactly. And selling equals serving, right? So we are here to serve, and we get to do that through our offerings.
And thank you, Jessica. I will fully receive that. That felt so nice.
Of course. Oh my gosh.
So Alyssa, I would love to hear about some of your offerings. I know you have a monthly membership and some other exciting opportunities if people want to work with you. So just if you can share a bit about that.
Yes, definitely. So there are three ways to work with me. I guess like the most intimate way is private coaching. So I offer 6-month coaching packages. So you meet with me twice a month, and then you also get access to my membership. And then the next layer is I have a group coaching membership. It's called the Wealthy Mind Membership. We meet every single week and we're doing different activities. The start of the month, we do our goal setting, and it's not just goal setting for money, but it's really about embodiment. So how can we embody the identity of someone who easily and naturally receives the money that they desire? We install our goals and our affirmations, and then we have different master classes, EFT tapping. The two modalities that I use in all of my work is EFT, which stands for Emotional Freedom Technique, and then EMDR, which stands for Eye Movement Reprocessing Desensitization. Basically, both modalities use the body and the brain to release and install. So I really focus on releasing negative beliefs and installing empowering beliefs. And then my bottom offering is called the EFT Tapping Library, and that is just a $9 a month, and you have access to weekly tapping videos. Every single week, I add a new tapping video, and I think we're almost at 90 tapping videos, so that's a really fun offering. And the tappings are on money, self-worth. There's like a 30-day tapping experience, so it's like all the umbrellas are covered under that.
Thank you so much. That sounds amazing. I am part of Haley's membership, but learning that you have a whole EFT library, I'm like, I might just add more tapping because it can't hurt.
Yeah. And my tapping in the tapping library it's called Tapping on the Go. So it's really designed for the on-the-go individual. So all the videos are like 7-8 minutes. So they're perfect for like, all right, you're identifying like an emotion or a thought, you click the video. And so you can get the relief really fast.
Amazing.
That's awesome. I'm really excited to check. I can't ever have enough of the EFT. I definitely like to do kind of like the morning reset. So I'd love that you offer that stuff. And for all of you listening, all of Alyssa's stuff's going, all of the links to her website and socials will be in the show notes. If you loved this episode and you know a friend who could learn from this and have some good takeaways, please share it and let us know what you think about the episode. We always want to hear your feedback, and we hope you all enjoyed. It was such a pleasure. Alyssa, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
We know this time is precious to you, and because we are insanely joyful that you are spending it with us, we always want to deliver authentic vulnerability and dive deep into what we are feeling as a collective.
Our intention is to bring you stories and guests that provide you the opportunity to discover aha moments so you leave our conversations feeling lighter and knowing what you do today will be good enough.
We love to connect. Follow us on social media by following our handles linked in the show notes. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with a friend, rate, review, and follow the Good Enough podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, or your favorite podcast listening app so you never miss an episode.